But still I have these questions. Well, good morning. Try to one more time. Good morning. Awesome, awesome. My name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're thrilled to have you worshiping with us. Yes, it feels like a concert. Happy New Year's. If this is my first time seeing you since the year, Happy New Year's. We thank God that we're able to make it through 2018. We had several challenges, but be that as it may, we're here. Amen? If you're here this morning, could you give God a round of applause? I was hoping everyone would, but seems as you're here. So as Pastor Greg said, this week we're starting this brand new series, Jesus, I Have a Question. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm flying and my family is flying, I always love to take the window seat in the plane. Awesome. I don't know why it is, but I just love to see when the plane takes off. And, you know, one of the favorite things I love to look at was to see all these huge buildings become small, 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 and disappear out of sight. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things to me. But one of the things is that when you reach cruising altitude and the air is clear and everything like that, you can actually look down and you can see, you know, you can't see all the details, but you can see, you know, the major landmass. You can see the mountains, you can see the rivers, you can see the lakes. In other words, you can see all the boundaries, if you will, that forms a contour or defines certain areas. And for some of you, you know that, you know, depending on the geographic landscape of certain areas, it really informs the economics of that area, right? I'm from Jamaica, and there are certain communities in Jamaica that they're close to the sea and they're close to the river. And of course, you have a fishing economy, right? There's some that is closer to the hill, and, you know, and there are certain crops that grow better in the hill. And so the geographic landscape really informs the economic activities of those communities. You see, I think that there's a similar thing that happens in our lives. Our lives have certain pillars, our lives have certain landscapes that inform how we behave on a day-by-day basis. And what I think those landscapes are really answers to several basic questions of life. Basic questions. And life's basic questions, they're not a lot. They're just a handful of basic questions that if we get the answers to those questions, it will inform the way we live on a day-by-day basis. And so I have four here. And the first one is, you know, is there a God? Your answer to this question is very important because it informs the way you live and the way you carry on yourself on a day-by-day basis. Is there such a thing as right or wrong or good and evil, right? Is there truth? And if there's truth, can I know the truth? Right? And most importantly to all of us, and especially in this day and age, is what is the meaning or purpose to life? Right? If we can answer those four basic questions, we pretty much live according to the answers, right? And that forms the contours or the boundaries of our lives. For example, if you say to me, is there a God? And your answer is yes, then, you know, you live accordingly. And if it's one thing about the answer to a question, that it leads to another question, doesn't it? Okay. If there's a God, yes. What is his nature? What is the nature of his existence? Is he personal or impersonal? Are there multiple gods or one God? It's just a plethora of questions that comes out of that. But you must get the answer to that question correct in order for you to live in a way that is consistent with God and all the things that he's called us to do and to be. And so this morning, what we're going to do, and this series, what we're going to do is that we're going to look at several questions that people pose to Jesus, and we're going to see how he responds, and see if that can inform us the way we live as believers and as followers of Jesus Christ. And this morning in particular, we're going to focus on one question, and the question is this: Jesus, do you care? Have you ever asked Jesus that question? Don't put up your hands. Well, have you ever asked God that question, God, do you care? We're going to look at that question this morning. And so before we do that, can we bow our heads and pray as we enter into God's word? Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for just being able to breathe and to be on this side of life. Thank you, God, for your presence that's in this house this morning. We ask, oh God, that even as we engage your word, that your spirit, oh God, will speak to each one of us individually. That, God, each one of us will walk out of this room knowing you a little bit better and loving on you and enjoying you a little bit more. We ask, oh God, that you be glorified in our presence in this place this morning as we lean into you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, this morning, if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to Mark chapter 4? Mark chapter 4. And it says here, it's going to be on the screen, it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him." We'll pause right there. If you look at the book of Mark is a very short book, and I would encourage you to read it if you just want to get a quick introduction to the person of Jesus Christ. It's a very quick book, it's a very short book, but in this book, you see Mark presents Jesus as a man on the move. He's a man of action. You don't get a lot of, you know, history about the genealogy or the birth of Jesus Christ. If you want to get that, you go to the book of Luke or the book of Matthew. But Mark, he really has Jesus on the move. He has Jesus on the move. So from the get-go, you see where Jesus plunged into a situation. He casts out demons. He heals the sick. He's moving all about Jerusalem and Judea and all about the regions. He's always doing something. He's always on the move. So on this particular day, however, we find Jesus in a teaching setting. And what happens is that he's walking along the shore. And how many of us know that, you know, whenever Jesus shows up, he always draws a crowd? You can talk back to me. It's okay. You can talk back to me, right? Whenever Jesus shows up, he always draws a crowd. And so as the crowd gathers around him, he decides to step into a boat. And as he steps into the boat, right, he from that platform, he begins to teach the people of God. And so, you know, Jesus being the prolific speaker that he is and the teacher that he is, man, he's teaching all day. And then evening came, and the Bible says on that day, we don't know which day it was. We just know it was on that day, all right? It says, evening came, and he said to his disciples these words, "Let us go over to the other side." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let's go." Okay. You're warming up. You're warming up. Let's go. All right? Notice with me that this idea was not birthed in the heart of the disciples. This idea of going to the other side was not birthed in the heart of the disciples. This was Jesus' idea. Let us go to the other side. In other words, Jesus was the one who gave the command. He was the one who gave the instruction. Let us go to the, I don't know where the other side was, but he wanted us to move from where we are to a new place. And one of the first things that I see here, one of the first observation that I see here is that if we are followers of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is the one who instructs us, it tells us then that Jesus is the one who sets the agenda and the goals of our lives. You need to write that down. You need to write that down. Jesus is the one who sets the goals and the agenda of our lives. And as followers of Jesus Christ, that is a fundamental truth that we have to understand if we're going to live effectively as believers. The Bible teaches us and tells us that once you give your heart to Jesus Christ, once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are no longer your own. In other words, you were bought with a price. And that price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you're no longer your own, it tells us then that God, that Jesus is in control. You're no longer the one that sets the agenda. You're no longer the one who has program over your life. It is God and Him alone. That is important. Because I don't know about you, but it is frustrating when I'm trying to go somewhere and it's just not happening. Have you ever been there? You know, you're trying to go for a promotion. You're trying to go for a raise. You're trying to go into a new career. You're trying to go into a new community. And for some reason, the doors are just shut in your face. And the question is, did Jesus instruct you to go there? Because if he didn't, it's going to be very frustrating to break into those areas. Amen? But once Jesus guides you, once Jesus directs you moving into those areas that he's called you to be and called you to do, it's very easy. You just step on in. and there's no issues. Amen? So Jesus is the one that sets the agenda for our lives. But you see, all of us in here, you know, as much as I've said that, we all have a proclivity to set plans and goals for our lives, don't we? And so what I'm going to do here is just give you what I consider to be a word. It's, you know, forms of goal setting. And it's forms is really just an acronym that means this. It's, you know, forms, F-O-R-M-S, right? So if you're going to set goals this year for your life, these are the 5 years of your life that you pretty much should and ought to be setting goals for, right? Number one, your family, right? Your children, your spouse, your family. Right? And I'm going to put a plug here. The men's ministry, we're going into this whole teaching, this 8-week teaching on fatherhood. This is a good teaching for all you men to come out to, because you're going to learn how to connect with your child, how to connect with your daughter, how to connect with your son on a heart-to-heart level and understand the unique ways in which God has designed them and built them. Amen? Hello? Amen. Wives, no, kick them out. You need to go to Iron Man. All right, good. Occupation, right? You know, there are certain skills, you know, some of us, you know, we've been in the same job for umpteen numbers of years and our skills are becoming stale. You know, look up a job, you know, career development skill set and learn a new skill, learn a new task so that as the opportunities present themselves, at least you're ready, at least you have the skills behind you to move into the next level. Amen? Yeah, personality can take you certain places, but it's going to take skill. Can you do something to accomplish certain things in life? Amen? Recreation or relationship, right? You know, some of us, I mean, all we do is just go to home and work. And then the cycle repeats the next morning. Home, work, and it repeats. Home, work, and it repeats. Come on, figure out some kind of an activity that the family can engage in to put a little more fun and spice in your life. Relationships, same thing. Ministry. How has God wired you to serve? How many of us know that we're always looking for folks to serve in the church? Yeah, we are always looking for folks to serve. And so, you know, we're never short on the need in that area. So if you're talented or if God has gifted you with children or with music or whatever, you know, ushering, come on in. We're always welcoming of that. But I want to spend some time here on the last area here, your spiritual life. Because it's out of your spiritual life that you gain the wisdom, the strength, and the sustenance to be effective in every other area of life. You know, I don't know about you, but if you're driving a car, you know, once the fuel, you know, runs out, you're not going too far, are you? Yeah, once the gas in your vehicle runs out, you're not going very far afterwards. And if your spiritual life is empty, it's going to bleed into all the other areas of your life. And so as we're thinking about, you know, your spiritual life, how is your prayer life? How is your Bible reading life? How is your devotion? When was the last time you fast? When was the last time you spent some time in prayer to God? Because it is out of that wellspring of life that you get the energy, the wisdom to be functional and effective in every other areas of life. Does that make sense? When was the last time you heard somebody say, you know what? One of my goals this year is to love more. Or one of my goals this year is to be more patient. Or one of my goals this year is to be more kind. Or one of my goals this year is to have more self-control. When was the last time you heard somebody put those goals out there? You don't, right? More often than not, it's something that we want to achieve, more money or another house or another car, right? But it's really your spiritual life, which is really the wellspring of your life. It is Jesus that sets the agenda for our lives, not us. The writer of Proverbs put it this way, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, or submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." In other words, as we're going about our daily lives, it's not for us to just get up this morning and do this. Or jump tomorrow morning and do that. No, have we consulted the Master? Have we consulted him? And are we submitting our lives to him? Because he's going to make our path straight. Amen? Amen. As we continue in the text, so Jesus sets the agenda. He says, come on, we're going to the other side. But the Bible tells me that as they went to the other side, something happened. Here it says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Now, I want you to rest right there. Here is a boat, almost capsized, and Jesus is in the bottom of the boat, sleeping. How would you feel? Let's continue. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Let's look at verse 37 for a second. A furious squall came up. A squall is really just an intense storm that is focused. It's localized, right? It's an intense storm that is localized. What fascinates me about this storm are several things. Number one, the timing. The timing. Notice that Jesus was on the boat at the seashore and he was teaching all day long. And nothing happened. But as soon as Jesus instructed the disciples to go to the other side, all of a sudden, a storm showed up. That sounds kind of fishy to me, no pun intended. Not only am I fascinated by the timing of the storm, I'm fascinated by the focus of the storm. The sea that they were on, it's a large sea. And somehow, the storm just seemed to zero in on their boat, right? It was so intense that the Bible tells me that water began to come into the boat. And how many of us know that boat was not made to hold water, boat was made to sail on water. And so if water is coming in the boat, that's not a good thing. The timing of the storm, the focus of the storm, but most importantly, the intensity of the storm. If you know anything about Jesus' disciples, is that you know that at least four of them were fishermen. Hello? Peter and his brother, Andrew, James and John, they were fishermen. And as fishermen, they must have been exposed to storms as they were out fishing. And so this must have been something that was typical to their experience. But something was different about the nature, the intensity of this storm, such that even they were fearful of their lives. This goes to show me that whenever God tells you to go somewhere, or whenever God instructs you to move in a certain direction of life, opposition will always come. It's timed just as you're about to move. It never comes when you're sitting, you know, idly by the seashore. It never comes when you're in the safe, you know, confines of your home. It always comes as soon as you step out in the purposes of God. Because the enemy's job is always to obstruct you as you move towards your purposes. Amen? Amen. The timing, the focus, and the intensity. Can we take this a little bit deeper? Thank you. All right. Whenever you look at life, and as we go through life, life is always a series or a cycle of moving from the known to the unknown. Yes? You know, as a child, you know, they grow up and as they learn certain things, they are always curious, and their curiosity always brings them into the unknown. But somewhere along life, you know, and the cycle repeats itself. Once you step into the unknown and the unknown becomes known, we feel comfortable, and then our curiosity gets the better of us, and then that pulls us into the unknown, and that cycle continues and continues. But somewhere along life, we get comfortable. Am I the only one? You know, you have a family, you know, you have kids, you have children, you have a house, your job, you know, your cars, and life becomes comfortable. And instead of us now continuing to move into the unknown, right, we stay in our comfort zone and we become stagnant. And now, in order for us now, if God is prompting us to move into the unknown at this season of our lives, because of all the uncertainty, because of all the things that we've gathered, we start looking at the unknown and think of it as a risk. Talk back to me. And now, because it is risky, we don't want to do anything. you know. And one of the ways you can know that somebody is stagnant or somebody is no longer moving in the direction that God wants them to move is that, you know, they start to reminisce. Remember when? Oh, the good old days. You know, when God was moving and when God was doing all these things. And the question is not that, you know, reminiscing on the goodness of Jesus Christ all these years is not a good thing. It, you know, it's okay, it's well. But the question is, what is God doing right here, right now? And what is He leading you towards? So I think about this. There was there's a gentleman in the Bible. His name is Caleb. You know Caleb. You know, Moses had sent out some spies, and two spies came back, and Joshua and Caleb, and they brought a good report and say, yes, we can go in and conquer the land. But because of the negative report of the majority, Moses says, you know what, no, we're going to stay put. And the Bible tells me that for the next 40 years, the children of Israel, instead of moving into the unknown and conquering the place that God had told them to conquer, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. That entire generation died off in the wilderness, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. In Joshua chapter 14, leadership has now been handed off to Joshua. And Joshua now is taking the charge, and he's leading the people of God into the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 14, you know, we see Caleb pops up on the scene. And this time, Caleb is about 85 years old, because, you know, back then he was like about 45 or so. By now, he's 85 years old. And he comes up to Joshua and says, Joshua, listen, I'm still as energetic as I was 40 years ago. I want to go in and conquer the land. But what's surprising is that Caleb just didn't ask for the easy plain. He asked for the plain where the giants of the land were. Do we have any Caleb in the house that understand that if God tells you to go somewhere, if God tells you to move into a place, that He's going to be with you and He's going to be right there to fight your battles? Caleb, at 85 years old, was able to go in and conquer his domain. Why? Because he believed and he trusted God. That man was not stagnant. Amen? He stepped into the unknown because he trusted God. Let's continue. The Bible continues and he says that Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? That's the question we want to tease out this morning. You see, what's interesting here is that these disciples were with Jesus when he was performing all these miracles. So they had seen him cast out demons. They had seen him heal people. They had seen him in all these different areas. But for some reason, now that they're in a storm, they're very concerned. What's interesting here is also that when we're in a storm, more often than not, we tend to ask the wrong questions. Whenever we're in a storm, we always tend to ask the wrong question. And the primary reason for that is because we are confused about the identity of God, or we're confused about the identity of Jesus Christ. Notice here that if you're in a storm, that's going to take your life. What you do is that if I just consider you as a man and you're in the same situation that I'm in and you're not doing anything, all I'm going to say is, don't you care? Why aren't you chipping in? Why aren't you helping out? That's how the disciples saw Jesus. He was just a man. But when you understand that Jesus is God, you don't come with accusations. You come and say, you appeal to his mercies and say, Father, have mercy on me. But more often than not, when we are confused about the identity of God, when we are confused about the identity of Jesus Christ, we will always ask him the wrong question in times of crisis. That was the wrong question. Because the issue there was that Jesus was with them. Care about the nature of the storm? Jesus is with me. This is the second point I want to bring up, and that's this, that Jesus' presence is with those who are willing to pay the cost of obedience. When you choose to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something. But you know what? Even though it's going to cost you something, the joy that you get from having his presence overwhelms and just is so much larger than anything else that you can have, that it completely annuls every anxiety and concern and care that you have. The joy of having his presence. David, in Psalm 51, after he had sinned and he was coming back to God, he pens these words, which I think is vital to the teaching this morning. He pens these words and says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing heart to sustain me." David understood the importance of nurturing, of having God's presence no matter where he went. Amen? And so too should these disciples have. Jesus' presence makes all the difference in the world. Amen? And so the issue here is not about, you know, Jesus, don't you care? The issue is, do you trust him? That's the issue at heart. If he's with you and you're going through your storm, the issue is, do you trust him? Let us continue. The Bible tells me that Jesus does something very unique here. He gets up and he rebukes the winds and the waves and he says, "Peace. Be still." King James language, I'm sorry. "Quiet, be still." The winds responded and they died down and they were completely calm. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a moment of crisis and instead of the person that's with you in the crisis, instead of them displaying authority and taking charge of the situation, they want to take this as a teachable moment? Have you ever been there? You know, when you're in a time of crisis, it's not time for teaching. Teaching can come later. When you're in a time of crisis, it's time to take reins of the situation. Let's get through the situation. And then afterwards, you can deal with the teaching. Not as we're going through the crisis. It's time to take charge. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Instead of arguing with his disciples, he got up, "Peace, be still." Calm the situation that was going around. And then he turned back around and starts to instruct them. Says, the issue is not that I don't care. The issue is, do you trust me? The issue is not that, you know, I don't see the situation or the circumstance that you're going through. No, I'm with you through it. The issue is, do you trust me? And that's precisely what he asks. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Do you see? It's always a matter of faith. Quickly, as we said before, that whenever we're moving through life, we're always moving from the known to the unknown. But at a certain point in our life, we start to see the unknown as risky, the uncertainness as risky, and because of that, we stay stagnant. But God wants us to move from fear to faith, because faith is really the cord that pulls you into the unknown. Hello, somebody. It pulls you out of your place of comfort. It pulls you out of your place of complacency and puts you in the place where God wants you, puts you in the place of excitement, puts you in the place of thrill, puts you in the place where you see God's power at work. And that's exactly what the disciples saw. Peace, be still. Situation was completely calm. The last point I want to make is this, and it has to do with the power of Jesus, right? Jesus' power is displayed or it's manifested to those who have the courage to go through the storm. It's very hard for you to see a display of God's power unless you're willing to go through something with him. The minute you step out of it, you have no opportunity of experiencing his power. It's as you're willing to go through the situation that you experience his power. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, go through. It's profound, right? No, neighbor, go through. Every situation of crisis presents an opportunity to see God's power on display. Amen? Finally, the question that Jesus wanted to tease out of them is this. It says in verse 40, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified. In other words, once they see God's power on display, they were more terrified when they saw his power on display than they were in the crisis. Says, who is this? Now that's the right question. You're going through life and you're going through your circumstances and you're going through your storm. What Jesus wants to do is to reveal more of himself to you. And the right question to ask is, who is this? Because this is the goal of life. The goal of life is to know Jesus Christ. If you want a goal for your life, this is the goal of your life, to know Jesus Christ. Amen? And so as we're thinking about our 2019 goals and our 2019 objectives and everything like that, let us put on our agenda to know more about Jesus Christ. Who is this man? Could you stand to your feet with me? I don't know what your unknown is. All of us have different unknowns in this room. For some of us, our unknown is a financial crisis. For some of us, our unknown is a health issue. For some of us, our unknown is a family issue. I don't know what your unknown is. But irrespective of what it is, Jesus wants you to step out in faith. He wants you to shed the fear and step out in faith. Because when you step out in faith and you go in the places that he's leading you, you will see his power on display. And you won't just be talking about yesterday's blessing. You can talk about what God is doing right here, right now. Amen? Bow your heads with me. What is your crisis? What is your storm? This is the opportunity to see God at work. One thing I love about this text is that Jesus promised, let's go to the other side. But he just didn't give them a promise and left them to fulfill it. He was there with them. He says, let us go to the other side. And so whatever that other side is that Jesus is calling you, he's going to be with you. You're not alone in your crisis. You're not alone in your storm. Jesus is with you. The question is always, do you trust him? Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Thank you for you instructing and leading us and teaching us, oh Father God, who you are. Father God, at times we can admit that God, when a crisis comes, when the storm have come, we've always questioned, God, do you care? And we realize here this morning, God, that yes, you do care because you're right there with us. So God, give us faith to trust you more. Give us grace to trust you more. Even as we step into the unknown of 2019, may your grace, may your favor be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.